Mortimer, Shaw, Williams, prepared to adventure down the left. There's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he has it! And it is! Peter Will! Gerrard in the lead!
Hi, it's Matt Subby now on the Aston Villa Life podcast. With me today, we've got Dan Bardell, writer for the Birmingham Mail and for A Villa Fan. How you doing, Dan?
I'm all right, mate. Thanks, you?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. So, as we have news today that Steve Hollis has taken over as Villa chairman. Randy Lerner has decided to step to the side and bring a new local business owner in. I think many people are probably not going to have a clue exactly who he is or what his credentials are like. Dan, your initial thoughts?
I'm probably one of those people that hasn't got much of a clue about the man, but from what I have read, he seems to have a good CV, he seems to take care on the local scene. So all in all, it's probably a positive move just in the fact that Randy Lerner is so much in the background nowadays. I think it's the right thing to do. It just surprises me that probably it hasn't been done earlier, because I would have thought as soon as he'd realised the club wasn't going to sell as fast as he initially thought, that this was something that he needed to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what do you think of the kind of Twitter calls that people have been saying about he's not a football man, you know, he's not suited to the club in that sort of sense? I mean, do you think people are being slightly premature with those judgments? I mean, do you actually think a chairman needs to be a football man, in inverted commas?
I mean, I think if you probably look around all the Premier League teams, there's probably a mixture. There's probably chairmen that aren't so-called football men that have done a good job, and there's probably chairmen that are football men like Steve Parrish at Palace, who is also doing a good job. I think it's probably too early to say. I mean, he's got a football background in the sense that he's a Man City fan and that he obviously has attended football matches, but I don't necessarily think that the chairman does need to be a football man. It's more, there needs to be more football men on the board and around the club, and I think that's probably where Villa fall down.
So what do you think then, Dan? I mean, talking about football men, obviously we've brought in Henrik Almstad to the club over the close season. He's obviously had his own dealings there. We're talking about, you know, the transfers and obviously being engaged on the sporting director side of stuff. Who would you think would like to be brought in? I mean, we talked before, or certainly there's been talk on Twitter about the idea of David Dean to come in. Obviously, that's not going to happen now that Steve Hollis being put in. I mean, who else do you think needs to come in? Do you think we need to have something along the lines of, you know, the kind of classic Ian Taylor approach people have been saying, somebody who's kind of got a link to Villa? Or do you think that's a bit of a misnomer? There's no real need for that.
I don't think they necessarily need to be linked with Villa, although obviously that always helps with trying to appease fans. I just think that there is a gap at the club where they need someone who's got a proven track record on the football side of things. I mean, I think David Dean would have been a savvy appointment, especially with the Arsenal links that we now have, but mm-hmm. I don't think that was ever realistically going to happen. I mean, I've read just before we've come on something about Brian Little coming onto the board. I'm not sure how true that is, but I think that would be good move, but obviously he's only ever seen things from the playing side and the managerial side. I'm not sure what he would offer as a football man on the board, but I think guidance wise someone like that would be good.
Yeah, I think from what I recall he's at Isle of Wight, isn't he? I think he's doing some stuff over the FA over there at the moment.
Yes, he is, yeah.
Yeah. So again, obviously a well-loved figure at Villa as a manager and as a player as well, so it'd be interesting if we could bring somebody like him on board. But like you say, it's difficult, really. I think the calls that people are having about the new chairman to be got rid of already is a bit premature. I know there's certainly some anger with regards to the idea of the whole Lerner out, Fox out campaign. I mean, on that side of things, how do you feel that Fox and Lerner are receiving unfair treatment at the moment, really, Dan? I mean, you know, obviously, Lerner's said he's going to be selling up. He's looking to do it. I mean, do you think he can do anything more?
I mean, when you're in such a bad position as we're in, people are obviously going to take flak. And I think after the last 5-6 years, it probably is only fair that Lerner does take the flak, because the buck stops with him at the end of the day. It's his club. I mean, I think he's obviously trying to get out and he wants to get out, but he can't find a buyer for the price that he wants to sell for, which is obviously going to cause problems. I mean, you wouldn't want him to just sell the club to anyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
You can see what's happened over the road at Birmingham with their owners. They're still recovering now, although they've got a good manager now and they are recovering. They were left in an absolute mess. And we wouldn't want that to happen at Villa, although I suppose you could argue that we're in a mess anyway, having not sold it to some charlatan.
Yeah, so what would you do if you were Lerner? I mean, would you hang fire? Do you think he's doing the right thing in terms of trying to sell it now? Should he stay where he is, or should he, you know, should he go down to the Championship potentially, obviously, which is looking increasingly likely, or do you think he should be just trying to, you know, get out at all costs? Do you think it's probably wise to stick around and maybe try and build it back up from the Championship and make his money that way, or do you think it's going to be a dead loss? Do you think he's never going to be anywhere near the 150 million they're talking about?
I think that he's going to struggle to sell it now while our future in the league is completely up in the air as it is. Mm-hmm. The only thing is, if we do go down, which as you say looks increasingly likely, he's not going to get the money that he's looking for. So I think that he's probably going to be stuck owning the club, and I think that maybe is another reason why he has decided to bring in a new chairman, so he can just completely take a back seat and not have to worry about it from running the club side of things.
Absolutely. So moving on slightly from the off the pitch situation with regards to chairman, we had Libor Kozak, who'd started for the first time against Crystal Palace this week on Tuesday, replacing Rudy Gusted, who by all accounts has been receiving quite a battering from the fans of being a pretty static striker, not really contributing much to the game. Now, recent reports said that in Europe, Gusted is apparently the number three man for aerial duels across the entire continent. Do you think Rudy Gusted is really deserving the kicking that he's been getting?
I've got to be honest, I've been one of the ones that's kicking him because I can't see what it is that he offers on the football pitch. I mean, you've just alluded to him being the third for aerial duels or whatever it was that you just said. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't think he wins enough headers when the ball's up in the air. And certainly if he does win the header, he doesn't seem to go anywhere or have any direction. And it's pretty strong to say this, but I've had a season ticket for 22 years now.
Yep.
I'd go as far as to say he's the worst striker I've seen at the club. That may seem harsh to say, but I honestly think he offers absolutely nothing. You have to have a bit of movement in the Premier League.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think Libor Kozak is the answer to all our prayers, nor is he the best striker at the club.
Yeah.
But he at least offers movement around the box. I mean, you could see that against Palace. He unsettled them. He caused them problems. I mean, he's not the most mobile striker, but he does make off-the-ball movements, whereas Rudy Gusted literally offers nothing for me.
So pretty down indictment then, Dan. Gusted, obviously he did very, very well with Blackburn in the Championship. With Villa heading that way, do you not think we should retain him at all? What's the thought, that we should literally get rid, cut our losses and forget it?
I think we're going to struggle with a lot of our players if we do go down, in the fact that I don't think anybody's going to want them. Certainly not at the prices that we've paid for them or the wages that they're on. So I think he may well be one that we're stuck with. But the worst thing for me was that when we played Wickham, if he'd have been in their side, you'd have thought, who's this donkey playing for Wickham? For him to have been in a Premier League team side and played, put up a performance like that, I thought was unbelievable. I thought it was one of the worst performances I've ever seen.
No, I agree. I mean, I do think he is pretty limited as a forward. He was brought in under the guise of being a replacement Benteke, which I think by all accounts is a pretty optimistic view anyway, to be honest. Obviously Christian Benteke hasn't done spectacularly well at Liverpool, and there's been a lot of calls for claiming that he might want to come back on loan to Villa, which I think frankly, if we could do that sort of deal, would be frankly amazing. I think it's pretty unlikely, to be honest though. But like you say, Gusted is he's done pretty well at Blackburn. He's good for the sort of physical aspects of the Championship, but I don't know, I've not seen anything from his game really to indicate that he's a top quality player, or certainly a Premier League player.
Certainly not a Premier League player.
Absolutely. So, talking about players, obviously we've had a lot of anger at the club recently. People have been very, very disappointed with the efforts that have been put in for the players. There's been a situation with Brad Guzan and Jerry Lescott apparently having a spitting contest to see who could spit chewing gum far enough. And obviously Micah Richards having to confront fairly angry fans at Wickham, understandably. Booing your own players then, Dan, where do you stand on it? Is it the right that people have because they pay their money, or is it just not conducive to a positive relationship for the club?
At the end of the day, fans are entitled to say and shout or boo as they please, because as you say, they do pay their money. But for me, it's counterproductive because it's never going to do any good. I mean, the only person that's going to look silly at the end of it is you, because you're booing at someone who you're relying upon to perform for your team on that given day. And we saw with Lescott, the way he reacted, he put in a decent performance. He played well at the back. And although the goal was very, very fortunate, he scored the winning goal that's seen us win our first game in forever. I mean, I don't know whether the chance when he scored of Jolyon Lescott being one of our own were a bit tongue-in-cheek. Mm-hmm. we've only made ourselves look silly by booing a player who's gone on to win the game for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so given the fact that obviously they were booing Lescott, complaining about him and Guzan, do you think it should be a case of bygones be bygones and just forget it, get on with it? Or, I mean, speaking about obviously fans have been booed there, you know, or sorry, about players have been booed. Brad Guzan obviously didn't feature against Palace, and arguably some would say that he's kind of receiving his comeuppance. I mean, speaking personally, I think this has been a guy who's had not very much competition for a lot of the time that he's been at the club. He did have Shay Given, obviously, last season, who was managing to do really well in the FA Cup. But, I mean, where do you stand on Guzan? Obviously, a player who has been booed pretty heavily by fans, and perhaps understandably. Do you think he's a bit of a fall guy for a defence that's not been particularly positive? Or do you think it's more of a case of he quite rightly deserves to be booed and should perhaps get him, you know, better competition for his place?
I think I look back to when he came back in under Paul Lambert, and in Lambert's first season, he got our Player of the Year award. He is not the same goalkeeper that was playing that season. Season upon season, he's regressed. For me, he's one of our biggest problems in the fact that I think he makes the defence nervous. Mm-hmm. Again, a bit like what I was saying about Kozak, I don't think Mark Bunn's the best goalkeeper in the world. But I think he had a bit more of a calming influence on the defence, and as a result, we looked a little less shaky at the back.
Yeah.
Guzan has regressed season upon season, and his distribution's caused us problems. I mean, if he was half as good at distributing the football as he seems to be at spitting his chewing gum on the pitch, we wouldn't be having as many complaints about him. I mean, you've got to look at a goalkeeper's contribution, and it's not all his fault, but is he making more saves than he is mistakes, like game-changing saves? And I don't think he is. I think he's made costly errors for a couple of seasons now, and they have cost us, and he's one of the reasons we're in the position we're in, for me.
So what do you foresee about the future for Brad Guzan? Do you think his career should be over at Villa? Do you think he's got a bit part to play? Do you think he should be a number two to somebody else? I mean, obviously, we've said about Mark Bunn. I'm probably in complete agreement there. I don't think he's the best keeper in the world, but I think a lesser of two evils, to be honest. I think Guzan, like any player who's had no competition for his place, to be perfectly honest, is going to be someone who's going to not give 100%. I mean, where do you see Guzan going from here? Is he likely to stay at the club? Would you want to keep him at the club, Dan?
First off, I don't see that he would see himself as a number two, especially when he's trying to cement himself as the US's top goalkeeper, number one goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Brad Guzan. I'm sure he's a very nice man, but I don't think his ego would allow him to be a number two. He strikes me as someone who thinks he's better than he is,
yeah.
And he has been in decline for a few years now. I see that he'll probably, in the summer, there's no way that we won't be buying a new goalkeeper in the summer, whichever league we're in. And I imagine he will go back to America, to the MLS. That would be what I see happening.
Have you got any thoughts of who we might want to go for? Obviously, there was talk of Steve Mandanda potentially leaving in summer, because there was talk about moving him in January, but he said he's now going to wait until the end of his contract. Is there anybody that you think that you'd really, really like to have at the club, obviously being realistic, given that Villa are potentially going to be the Championship next season?
To be honest, if we go down, I mean, Jed Steer's playing his trade in the Championship at the moment. I wouldn't be adverse to seeing him given a chance, because we're never going to know how good he is unless he plays. And certainly the Championship may be a good place to blood a young goalkeeper, because I'm not sure the Premier League is. And if he's playing in the Championship at the moment, and I think he's doing okay from what I've heard, mm-hmm. I'd imagine he could be the number one next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you say, it's... It's a question of who you're going to bring along. The idea of Steve Mandanda coming along to join a club going into the Championship seems a bit unrealistic, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I understand the French links. Obviously, Remy Gard has got his own network that he's spoken very highly of, saying he has a completely different network perhaps to some of the people at Villa. But I suppose the question is going to be, bringing into the Championship, is there any real likelihood that somebody like that is going to come and want to be there? So, final point now, Dan, for our initial podcast. Next game we've got, obviously, on Saturday, Leicester City, a team who this time last season were considering themselves going to be candidates to go into the Championship, now finding themselves flying very, very high, potentially almost likely to get a Champions League position this season, never mind a Championship Championship position. What do you think comes Saturday? Is there any chance at all that Villa are going to pull something off, or could we think of a Crystal Palace result and maybe nick something? What's your thoughts?
I think Palace are in decent form, in a decent position in the league. I didn't really see us getting anything from them, and we managed to win 1-0, albeit I don't think it was Palace's best display of the season. but there was a bit of application in the Villa side, which has sometimes been lacking this season. If they put the same application in again and we get the rub of the green as we did on Tuesday, then obviously anything could happen. But for me, it would be ironic if we did pick something up at Leicester, because that would be the start of us turning our season round, because that's when I feel our season went to pieces, was when we blew that 2-goal lead earlier on in the season.
I know, it was a bizarre game, wasn't it? I mean, the goals that we scored, if it was scored on quality alone, I think we probably would have won the game quite comfortably. But as you quite rightly say, wind was knocked out of our sails at that point. And I do kind of wonder how we might actually react at Villa Park. I mean, Leicester are obviously a very, very good team. People like Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy have been linked with moves away from the club, understandably. I know Mahrez joined for only $400,000. Obviously, his price would be far, far higher than that. In terms of the game on Saturday, what do you think the main threats are for Villa?
Against us or for
us? For against us from Leicester, in terms of who do you think is going to be the people who are going to make the impact?
Worry about Vardy against Lescott, to be honest, pace-wise. Mm-hmm. If we push too high up at the pitch, which is exactly what Leicester want, then we're going to find ourselves in trouble. But saying that at home, you're expected to play on the front foot, so trying to do that could actually work against us. Albrighton obviously coming back, I still think he's turned into a very good player at Leicester. I think the time was probably right for him to leave Villa. In hindsight, it's all well and good now saying, oh, we should have kept him. But for 30, as I've said to you before, and you've said to me, $35,000 or whatever it is he wanted to stay, he simply wasn't worth that at the time. And it would have been financially naive to have given him a contract at that point.
Absolutely. But, I mean, retrospectively, I think people have kind of said, oh, yeah, Mark Albrighton, we've let him go look at the player. But I think, let's be frank, I think he's developed quite a bit since he's actually left. It's not like he's exactly the same player as he was when he was at Villa. And I think, like you say, the salary that was being requested, apparently, you know, obviously it's not confirmed, but it was reports that he was asked for a pretty large salary, seemed pretty unrealistic for Villa at the time. Although, arguably, you could say that Villa would probably be in pretty good need of a winger at the moment. So, Villa-wise, who do you think could be the threat, really, to make an impact if Villa are going to snatch a point or more?
I mean, our best player at the moment, comfortably, is Jordan Ayew. I mean, if the rest of the team put in the work rate that he's put in for across the entire season, we'd probably still be in trouble, but I don't think we'd be cut adrift as much as we are now. He's such a good player, and you were talking about Benteke earlier, like, if we had managed to hold onto him, which obviously is completely unrealistic, but if we could have had them two up front, that would have been a great strike partnership. I mean, there's a lot of great strike partnerships in the Premier League this season. Look at Deeney and Ighalo at Watford, who aren't exactly a fancied side. Mm-hmm. If we could have had Benteke and Ayew in tandem, we'd have scored a lot of goals, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think Benteke was a big loss, obviously, like with Fabian Delph. Both of them left because of clauses in their contracts rather than any kind of real necessity of wanting to lose them. Although arguably people will say that we did actually fund most of our summer transfer fundings from losing Benteke. It's a really, really tough one, as I say, with the Leicester game. I think people aren't going to be expecting anything. It seems quite bizarre to be talking in the tones that Villa shouldn't expect anything from Leicester, as though it's a complete role reversal. I know when Claudio Ranieri joined at the start of the season, people were saying he's going to be rubbish. I must admit, I said that I didn't think he was going to be. I know Harry Redknapp was criticising him for his role at Greece, complaining that he'd done a terrible job, which I thought was quite ironic, given the fact that Redknapp himself has left certainly clubs in rather precarious positions, to be frank about, when they've left anyway. But yeah, I think it's very, very, very interesting. Your thoughts on scores for the Leicester game? Do you think Villa can actually get something for it? What's going to be your prediction, Dan?
Managed to cut off the counter-attack, which not many teams have managed to do this season, so that points to the fact that the team that's bottom of the league isn't going to be able to do it. I'd be very, very happy with the point, just on in the way that it carries on the momentum of picking up a win on Tuesday. If we get a point on Saturday, that's two relatively difficult ties where we took 4 points from, and you'd have definitely taken that at the start of the week. There's every chance we can get something. It just depends which Villa shows up, because we put in a good display against West Ham, and then a few days later we put in probably the worst display of the season against Norwich. In Remy Gar's first game, we put in a good display against Man City, and we followed it up with a thumping at Everton. So every time we've had a semi-decent result so far under guard, we followed it up with a poor performance. I just hope that doesn't happen on Saturday, because if we do put in a poor display, Leicester are a side that will definitely, definitely punish us.
So, final thought then, Dan. If we do manage to get a point by some hook or crook, whether it's a draw or a win, do you think the great escape's on?
I wouldn't go that far. I know it's very negative, and over the years I have been a very positive Villa fan, but I think this year has taken its toll on me. I just can't see us doing enough. Even if we hit a good run of form, we've got to rely that the teams around us aren't going to pick anything up at that stage. If we were to win three games in a row, say, we've got to rely on that Swansea, Sunderland, Bournemouth, Newcastle, they're not going to pick up any points in that period, and quite simply that isn't going to happen. I think we've just left ourselves too much to do, although I can see us going on a run at some point towards the end of the season, but I just don't think it'll be enough. It'll be too little too late.
Three to go down then, Dan. I think I'm going to go for, sadly, Villa, Sunderland and Swansea City. What do you think?
You know what? I had Sunderland as being down, but they've started to look sharp. And the one thing they've got is they've got a goal scorer. Their worry is that they can't defend. It wouldn't surprise me to see Newcastle drop in. I'm going to go the same as you, other than Newcastle instead of Sunderland.
OK, well, thanks very much, Dan. First episode of the new Aston Villa Life podcast. Thanks again for Dan joining us, and we'll see you next week, hopefully with some other people as well as me and Dan.